In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Humble yourselves before the Lord. If it were not the season of Lent, a season of penitence and reflection, dear friends, this text would still be very fitting, considering its timing. It's the last week of the quarter. Students, you have tests to take. You have papers that are due. And especially if that test is in early church or revelation in Scripture, perhaps Luke or a final sermon for homiletics class, you'd better humble yourselves. And faculty, you're not exempt from this either. Those papers, those tests, they have to be graded. Humble yourselves. And certainly on the minds of the second and fourth year students and delayed vicars, those magical nights in April, when a table will sit here stacked with envelopes, talk about a humbling experience, not knowing what place is attached to your name on that envelope. So it's not hard to find these days ways to humble ourselves or to be humbled. But that's not even what James is talking about in the text before us. He is talking about when he says, humble yourselves, he is talking about and addressing the issue of repentance. The early verses in James chapter 4 deal with the sinful nature. You desire and you do not have, so you murder. Verse 2. Now James probably had in mind here the idea of David and Bathsheba. David sending the husband of Bathsheba, Uriah, out to the front lines because Uriah had something that he wanted and he couldn't have it. So he sent the husband out to be killed so that he could have her. We desire often to be number one. We want to seem to be the smartest amongst our peers. Perhaps we even want to be considered the Martin Luther of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, or at least of Concordia Theological Seminary. So, to that end, we often slay our brothers, be they students, faculty, staff, or pastors. We slay them with unkind words. Humble yourselves before the Lord. Verse 2 goes on to say, you do not have because you do not ask. Now, personally, this is a favorite verse that I like to misquote when I talk to prospective students about financial aid. And I'm sure that Reverend Lang might, at least in spirit, identify with that. But James is here asking us to heed the words, perhaps, of Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord. But then James really slams the lid on us with his own commentary on verse 2, when he follows up with these words, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. So often in our prayers, we're thinking of ourselves. Lord, get me through this test. I'll be in chapel every day next quarter. Lord, let this sermon be a good one, because I don't have to preach to the middle of next quarter. But so often, we forget those simple words of the third petition. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And perhaps we don't really want to remember that God's will is done among us when He breaks and hinders the evil plan and purpose of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature, which do not want us to hallow God's name or let His kingdom come. And God's will is also done when He strengthens and keeps us firm in His word and faith until we die. This is His good and gracious will. We so often ask wrongly. We ask selfishly. We want to belong to God and to the world. We want the best of both. And we know that we can't serve God and mammon. This past week, I was in Oregon, a bed of Lutheran Orthodoxy, and was confronted only by one pastor about recent statements made. And I said, we can sweep the dirt under the carpet, but the dirt is still there. We can side with the world and sweep the dirt under the carpet, but the dirt is still there. Humble yourselves before the Lord. In the name of the Father. Wait a minute. There's a second half to this verse. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will exalt you. James is also dealing with forgiveness. There, my friends, is the aha of this text. James isn't dealing merely with repentance. He is dealing with forgiveness as well. A couple of weeks ago, or maybe it was a little less than that, Pastor Dreyer preached a sermon talking about how we need to understand Scripture from above and not from where we see it from below. And here James is showing us by his inspired words that our thought process is by nature from below. Thus his call to repentance in verses 6 through 10. But he gives more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. But he gives more grace. Perhaps coming to mind here the words of John when he writes in chapter 1, verse 16, and we have received from him grace upon grace. The more sin there is, the more grace God has to give. So then, let us sin that grace may abound. And to quote the famous and sainted Dr. Degner, certainly not. We don't do that. We just simply know that we don't have a license to sin, but we know that when we do sin, that we have a place to turn. We look to the cross, and we see there from his hands, from his feet, from his head, from his side, sorrow and love flow mingled down. In yesterday's gospel lesson, Jesus showed us how to resist the devil And what did the devil do? The devil fled from Christ. St. Paul in his letter to the Ephesians, St. Peter in his first epistle, and St. James in our text today stress that this battle that we fight with Satan is a constant one, a daily battle. But dear brothers and sisters, James is also inspired to remind us that that battle has been won for us. At Calvary, Satan was defeated. Time in the inspired and inerrant Word of God shows us that. We were also brought to God. We were also given to Him. We were submitted to Him in holy baptism. There at the font, our hearts and minds were cleansed. There they were purified. There our hearts were set apart to serve the Lord. And there, Luther writes, do we return daily, so that by daily contrition and repentance, the old Adam in us is drowned with all sins and evil desires. And daily a new man rises to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. And again, daily we see that that battle has been won for us. And our Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, gives us the highest exaltation, the absolute highest exaltation this side of heaven, in the receiving of the body and blood of Christ, which was given and shed to cleanse and to purify our hearts and minds, so that we might indeed have a foretaste of the feast to come. This is God's promise to you and to me. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will exalt you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.